Well, let's just start off by praying. Father, we thank you, Lord. We just praise you for your presence here. Thank you for the sweetness and power of your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you lead and guide everything that's said, that all of our ears will be open to hear what you say. And we just praise you and thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for that you always cause us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me clear my throat. Okay. Over time, and I've taught a lot on finances, and over time I've taught about having a financial vision. And so that and planning for success, and then how to get out of debt, we spent a lot of time just going through that and how to put together plans on how to attack those areas, how to put together healthy plans to succeed with your finances. And so tonight I want to go into a fourth area that's not really ever talked about much, and this is how to build wealth in savings. And so we're going to actually talk about the word wealth and the word Bible in the same sentence here as we get into this. So if that turns you off, you're going to get turned off a lot by these scriptures that we're going to go through, so we'll go through it here. So I want to start with Proverbs 13:11. Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. And so there's a principle here that it's not always the big one-time achievement. It's not always the big awards and cash prizes and anything like that that you might give. But there's a principle here that it's a little by little thing. It's a consistent thing. It's something that we do over time. And so as we do this, the Lord said he will cause it to grow and increase. So sometimes when we start savings accounts and start all kinds of investment accounts, we look at it and we go, wow, this thing's just not going anywhere. But over time, it starts getting accelerating and getting bigger because that's the way he designed it to work. Now, what's the state of the nation? Well, 7 out of 10 people have less than $1,000 in their savings account. Oh my, that's not good. So that means 70% of the people that you meet, you know, are right on the edge of not having enough money to cover an issue that might cost them $1,000 or more. 34% of Americans have zero in their savings account. So one third of the people you meet have nothing set back on that. So what that means is they're just completely exposed to anything that goes wrong. Car breaking down, refrigerator breaking down, all these different things that can happen. And so they have no other way to do it other than to go out and borrow more money to make that happen. Americans overall are saving just about 6% of their earnings compared to really where they should be is between 10 and 15% of earnings. So they're saving much, much lower than what needs to happen. So does God believe in saving and investing? Well, let's turn to Proverbs 6, verse 6. And he says, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and it gathers its food at harvest. So he talks here about, and he also talks in Proverbs 30 about the ant, and he said the ant is exceedingly wise. Well, he's pointing out something here that we need to look at in terms of what is it that the ant does that's exceedingly wise. See, they'll eventually get that potato chip down that ant hole. You know, there's a bunch of them under there carrying it, and they'll eventually break it all up and get it all down there. Why? Well, they're gathering up. They're always gathering up. They're always on the way somewhere to go get something. And they're gathering up, and you see them just carrying stuff. And they get enough of them together, they'll carry anything. And what are they doing with it? Well, they're taking it down there in their area, and they're storing it all up. Now, the thing about it is in the wintertime, you don't see any ants, do you? You can step all over anthills right now, and they won't even bother you. Why? Because they're way down there having a party. They're eating up all the tacos that they gathered up and all the enchiladas that they gathered up on them, they're having a party. Why? Because they're wise. They actually know that there's going to be some lean times coming, so they store up for that. They know there's going to be times when they can't just get out and go and run around and get stuff, so they store up for that. And so God is looking to that and saying, We need to look at that and learn from that and understand that, because he's pointing to it that they have wisdom in how they handle themselves. They have wisdom in how they prepare themselves. So when you're looking at savings, we just always have to keep looking at this and saying, okay, we need to do some things here. Now, savings is scriptural. It never nullifies living by faith. And we're going to talk a little bit about struggling. Sometimes you can struggle with having money sitting there and it becomes a problem to you. But if you build up enough savings, you can get out of and keep out of debt. It also gives you a lot of financial flexibility to make decisions. If you have sufficient savings built up, you can actually look at different options in life in terms of doing career changes, doing different types of activities, working with charities. I mean, there's a number of things you can do to get engaged, and so when you have enough financial flexibility, it makes it easier to do. You can also give at much higher levels. Amen? And then, boy, just see God really do things in here. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. So God brings wealth to you when he blesses you. And so there's a connection there in terms of how he does that and what we do with it. Now, when we look at income, it's always good to look at income as a pie. There's only so much things you can do with the money you make. You can live off of it, pay your bills and things like that. You can grow with that, which is what we're talking about, savings here. You can give it, you can owe debt, you can owe taxes. I mean, there's just some things there that happen. Now, the thing about this is it all comes from God. He gives us income. He is our provider. No matter where you work for somebody or you have your own business, God is your provider and everything's coming from him. How we manage that pie, how we're diligent with that pie, will be a signal to God in terms of how he'll increase us more, whether he'll do it or not. See, he uses how we handle worldly things as a gauge for how much he can trust us with. You'll find that in Luke. Jesus talked about it quite a bit. So it is critical in this relationship that when we make a decision to go out and spend a bunch of money, then I rack up a bunch of debt. Now I'm spending a bunch of money paying off debt payments. See, it all kind of relates. It's all the same pie. So I'm just reallocating the pie. Now I don't have enough to really live on because the debt's choking me. And so it's something we always have to look at, because God is looking at it. He's looking at it and saying, okay, here's the money you're getting. Now what? Now what are you going to do with it? What are the decisions you're going to make with it? That's why we focus on giving a lot, because he focuses on it a lot. And so that income pie is really critical. So every decision impacts that pie. In Deuteronomy 28 says, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on your everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. Now, in the Bible, it talks about barns. It talks about storehouses, those types of things. Those are incomes, things that are laid up. And I always relate that to the fact that those are investments, those are savings accounts, those are checking accounts, that's your job, that's your career, that's everything that's going on in your life from an income production standpoint. I always speak this scripture over my investment accounts, and I speak to them and say, my investment accounts are blessed because God has blessed them, you know? And he's causing them to increase and prosper. And it really doesn't matter what goes on in the economy, it goes up. Amen? So, it's okay to speak to your money because the Lord gave it to you. Amen? And so you use these kind of scriptures to just speak over it. Now, we're going to talk about six purposes of savings. One is just emergencies. And two is regular outlays. Three is challenging times. Four is replacement or purchase of major items. Fifth is education. And six is just future wealth building on there. So these are our barns and our storehouses. Now, when we get into this, the last time we talked about finances, we gave a budget. This is what a budget looks like. And so we have a break-even point here of $3,520 on this budget. And so the overflow that's coming out of that income is $130. Now that's significant because we're going to use that to pay down stuff. I'm going to use that to pay off debt. I'm going to use that to give. I'm going to use that to save. And then I'm going to spend something on what Vicki wants to spend on. Okay, that's the deal there. So emergency savings is really $1,000. Is really trying to get that in place first. That's probably the most critical thing to get in place in terms of emergency savings. It enables you to handle events that are causing you to borrow. Every time, if you don't have enough money sitting there and something happens that you have to go buy something, it's debt. You know, so it's critical to have something at least sitting there. Now, it's not an end-all of end-all. Oh, it's over time, you know, you can start reducing your are increasing your deductibles on your insurance policies if you have enough money sitting there. I mean, $1,000 is what I typically have now, or higher, depending upon what the situation is. And the premiums go down quite a bit, by the way. So you actually save money doing this, but you got to have the money sitting there to cover that. And so it gives you some flexibility. You want to go to the next slide? It'll give you some flexibility in terms of how you do that. So having $1,000 in place is really critical. So how do you do that? Well, one of the things you can do that with is selling things. How many people have got stuff laying around their house that they haven't touched for a long time? Yeah. I mean, you know, you could probably walk into anybody's house and find enough stuff to raise $1,000 pretty quick. With all the online capabilities of auctions and all this other stuff, you can do this. So that's the first thing you want to do is just, okay, I'm going to raise $1,000 here. So I've got this stuff sitting here in my way and I've never used it for a long time, so I'm going to sell it. Go online and sell it. The second thing you have to do is you can just reduce spending. You know, that's something you should always do is challenge your spending. How much are you spending on what? And then is there a cheaper way to get it? There is on several things on that. I usually have at least a couple things every year that I challenge. And we go out and we look at the market and see, can I find something cheaper than that? And usually we can. Sometimes we can't. But at least we're looking at it and seeing what we can do. The next thing you can do is contribute from the overflow. So that $33 that we had coming out of our budget, coming in there, going in there, that we would use that until we finally got up to the $1,000. And so that would, we use a combination of those. Now, if something happened and you had to spend that money, you just go back through that process again and get that account built back up again. It's a constant effort to keep that up there. Why? Because that's your first safety valve, is just to have something to cover something. And you'll find out that eventually you'll get to the point where you're not having to borrow near as much, and then you're not having to borrow anything. So that's a good way to just get it stopped over time, okay? So that's having that first $1,000 in place. The second one that we do is a regular outlay savings. And really with that, we're talking about, how many here have birthdays and Christmases every year? Okay. It's amazing how that comes every year. How many have insurance companies that want money either every 6 months or every 12 months? Yeah, okay. Let's make sure y'all are alive here. Okay. How many of you pay health premiums and doctor bills and things like that and they expect money? Yeah, things like that. Car repairs, maintenance. Anybody have any cars that never need repairing? I was going to buy that car if you had it, you know. Home repairs, real estate taxes. Government wants their taxes, you know. They really get a real bad view of people who don't pay. How about clothes? Anybody need clothes? Hopefully. Okay. And then vacations. Sometimes you got to take a break. Just get away. All these things I've just listed are things that we actually schedule out. And what we do is when we get money coming in, we allocate a certain amount of that to those areas and kind of set them aside to where we've got so much money sitting there. Now, we don't keep cash in the house because we lost cash in the house. but we have it in the bank, and so we have it on a spreadsheet where we have how much is in our vacation account, how much is in our clothes account, how much, and I give that to Vicki all the time, and she goes shopping and she knows how much she can spend. Amen. So what does that keep from happening? That keeps from having running up debt every time something goes wrong. So eventually I'm starting to cover things that happen every year. Eventually I'm starting to have money to pay my insurance all up front, and it's cheaper when you do that. They actually give you credit for paying it up front. So there's things you can do, and when you actually have the money to pay it rather than paying it over 12 months, because they charge you more for that. So, you know, that can always help there as well as far as freeing up more savings. Okay? So that's regular outlay savings. So as I talked about, you just allocate monies to each category. Really, as you get paid or as money comes in, you just sit down and say, we're going to spend this much for Christmas and this much for gifts, and just start saving so much and allocating so much to that and start trying to build that up over time. Now, the third one is challenging time savings, in that really it's sometimes that you may have a loss of income. And so, you know, yeah, nobody knows when that's going to happen. But, you know, when it does happen, you know, I can guarantee you unemployment's not all that much. Okay. So, but you have to have a way of just living. And so this is a more of a longer term stretch of just building up money for just in case. And if, you know, if you have kids, they'll take care of the just in case. So really looking at 6 months of emergency savings, or looking at 6 months of expenses to essentially cover. That's why you really need to look at what your break-even level is, so you know what it is that you need to be saving for and setting money aside for and setting that up. The other thing that it does is it gives you the ability to help people in a time of need and reach out to people. 2 Corinthians 8:14 says, at the present time, your plenty will supply what they need. So in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. And so you can be able to balance life out there, help somebody in need because you have the extra money to be able to do it, and then somebody else will help you out when you need it. Amen? So that's how that works. So having that savings there gives you the ability to at least be able to withstand some months without income coming in, and then also gives you the ability to help other people. The fourth item is replacement savings. Things just wear out. Anybody have anything that wears out? Cars, refrigerators, washer dryers, all these things, you know, they do actually do wear out. And so if we don't save for them, then we may end up having to borrow the money for them. So really what this is about is when you borrow on those items, you can pay up to 2 to 3 times the cost just on the interest of that. They hit you pretty hard for that stuff. And so, you know, you always look at something like that, like a big screen TV, and you go, you know, yeah, that one's worth $1,200, but would you pay $2,400 for that? Probably not. You wouldn't want it to just lay out the cash for that, because that's what it ends up being after they pile on interest and interest and interest on that. So that's just something that you always want to look at, is you have things that are going to wear out, and so trying to set up a replacement capability to replace those when it happens. We have a car fund, we have a furniture fund, and a couple other funds to cover things that just explode or melt or wear out or whatever, you know. And so, you know, back at the beginning of the year, I totaled my car, compliments of somebody else, and so ended up having to get another car. Of course, the insurance company didn't pay me enough to cover the replacement car, and voila, I had the money to go out and actually buy another car with what they gave me plus what I had. So, hey, you know, I wasn't planning on using it, but there it was. Okay, and so now, hey, I've got a car today, debt-free. So that's a good kind of car. So that's really replacement happening, is that you're planning on these things happening. you know eventually they're going to happen. You never know when something's going to go out, but you're at least ready for it as we go. Number five is education savings. And, current college cost for Texas A&M in Texas is what, about $25,000 a year? It sounds cheap. I don't know why. But that's 27. Okay, there it is. I knew somebody would know. 27. Okay, that's close. All right. So $27,000. So for Texas and Texas A&M to go. So for all you Aggies and UT fans. Okay. So, and I don't know how many have kids here, but eventually they're going to need to go to something. And so the thing is that if you don't start saving money for it, then they're going to have to end up taking out student loans. And that's really not a good thing. Because I've known people that end up owing over $100,000 by the time they graduated, and then they went and got their $50,000 job, and the math just doesn't quite get there. So not everybody's like that, but looking at that and saying, okay, let's just set up something for them. Now, that can be grandparents, that could be for grandkids. We've got something set up for our grandkids, and so we've got 1 year paid for on one of them and a half a year on another one. And what, they're only in second grade and first grade or something like that. So, but we're just contributing little by little, as money comes in, we're putting money in there. And then it's kind of starting to accumulate over time. So with education savings, there's a couple options out there. There's 529 plans and there's ESA plans. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one, except they are tax-deferred plans. And so when you take them out and spend them on education, you don't pay taxes on the earnings out of those plans. So that's a pretty good deal. Now, the only problem is if they don't go to school, then you end up having to pay a lot of taxes and penalties on those investments. So there's always that risk there on there. So there's some options out there to build up some different savings with that area that you can talk with people about on there. Number six is really talking about retirement, talking about just restarting. I don't use the word retirement. I mean, it's just not in my vocabulary, and I don't ever plan on retiring. I'm going to go out kicking and screaming and having a good time and just really doing what I need to do for the kingdom. And so you really can't find the word retirement in the Bible anywhere or a concept of it. And so, but, whatever. So, but there's some options that you can do. You can start your own business. You can invest for growth. You can, get rid of life insurance because you've got your money built up. Because really life insurance is really a stopgap measure between what it is that you would like to have versus what you have. And so as you gain more, your value, you should really be reducing the amount of life insurance that you have out there, unless you just want to go out big. The other part is an inheritance for our children's children, which is what the Bible says in Proverbs 13. So always looking at this, there's always opportunities to minister to people. There's always opportunities to impact nations. There's always opportunities to do things for the Lord. And so when you have the flexibility, when you have the resources and money, that frees you up then to do those things and go about and really get involved in things. So always plan to look at that. And really, again, great flexibility. I have known people personally, and they worked hard all their life, and then they said they wanted to retire and go home and just sit and do nothing. And one of them I know particularly only lasted 2 months. And then he died, and that was unfortunate. Nice guy. Because when you sit down and retire and don't do anything, your body just starts declining. And your mind starts declining. Everything starts declining. Your whole body goes into shutdown mode. And so whenever I hear somebody tell me, well, they're just going to go there and they're just going to sit there the rest of their retirement, I just want to say, well, see ya. I'll see you in heaven. But it's not, we're made to go. We're made to engage, we're made to do. And so when we don't, you know, then things just start slowing down with us. So anyway, it's just a note. All right, let me briefly on Social Security. It's never a good thing here. But Social Security was really, when it was first built up, it was really based upon the assumption that every working generation was going to be about the same size as the next working generation. And as you can know by just history, that has never even been close. And so there's problems there in terms of just financial in the Social Security system, because we got way more people about to retire versus people that are actually working and paying in. Now, aside from that, when you go to the Social Security website, it says that Social Security will cover about 40% of your income, but they're assuming that you're going to somehow spend 30% less when you're retired. And I have not met a financial planner yet that deals with people in retirement that can tell me that that actually does happen. Actually, what happens is that your expenses stay about the same, and it just becomes more medical oriented and those kind of things. So the nature of them changes. And so, you know, if you're sitting there planning on your expenses going down, you know, really it may not necessarily be true. In mine, when I look at my Social Security account, my whopping that I'll get is about 20% of what I make now. So I know, you know, it's like, well, I can't live off of that, so I'm not even planning on it. So you know, it's always something to look at and see what is it actually turning out to be. Because, like I said, you go to the website and it'll say 40, but it's really more like 20 when you look at what you're actually making. And I don't know anybody here that can live on 20% of what they actually make. So it's something to look at. It really was not meant to replace your income other than just be a supplement to it. And so there needs to be additional money that comes with that. And so that's where really planning and building up wealth to be able to offset that and take that into consideration. If you work for somebody and they have a 401k or 403b plan. 403b is a nonprofit plan. And if they have matching contributions, you want to contribute at least to that point. Because like if on a plan, if they're going to match up to 4% of what you put in, then you want to put in 4%, because then you have 8%. That's like free money. So you always want to look at that and see what it is that they do in terms of how much they offer. And companies, no matter whether they're profit or nonprofit, always have something that they usually kick in. And so you want to at least match up to that on that. If you're having trouble getting there, one of the things you can do to increase your savings is, as you get increases every year, you just kick in an additional at least 1% into your savings before it ever hits your check. Okay? And that way you'll know you won't even miss it. So that's just something that you should do anyway, is as your income rises, you need to base purposely and on purpose put something in savings and just get it to happen before you get used to the increase. Why? Because what happens when our money goes up, our expenses seem to just go up like crazy, right? It's amazing how much we all of a sudden need. So this is just something to do. It's just, it'll help you over time to build that up to a more significant level. All right, if you own your own business, there's 401ks, there's SEP IRAs. I won't get into a lot of them. You can contribute up to 25% of your income on those types of plans, as well as 401ks on there. So one of the things that over years, and I've been talking a lot about tax-deferred plans, but one of the things you always want to try to do, and I've been trying to do, is build up money outside of all those tax-deferred plans. Because I can't, every time you touch a tax-deferred plan, it'll cost you 30-something percent in taxes and penalties. And so it's until you actually reach some golden age, okay? So you don't want to really go in into those plans and pull out from them, because you're just giving the government 30% of your money, which I hate to do. So I always look at that and have some money available on the outside. Right now, I'm about 60% that's tax deferred and about 40% that's free to do some things. And so that's helping a lot to give flexibility and look at a lot of different options on there. So flexibility is a key. Always having to watch the money trap. And what is the money trap? Well, money can make you feel real comfortable and make you feel less dependent on God. And that's something that I think you can have $100 in the bank and still struggle with this. You know, I remember I had $5 for gas, or I could just put $5 in the offering and figure out how I was going to get somewhere. You know, so it was a struggle. So it doesn't take a lot of money to get into that struggle on that. And so there's some things here that, you know, you always have to watch at in terms of where your heart is on something, because as things increase, as the market goes up, as your investment accounts go up, as all these things start going up, you know, you get to start to feel pretty good about things and really start taking your foot off the brake or the accelerator pedal in terms of really extending your faith. And so that's always a challenge. Like I said, it doesn't take a great amount for that to happen. But it can be a real subtle thing. Ecclesiastes 7:12 says, "Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this: wisdom preserves those who have it." So it's equating money as a shelter. And so that shelter can be such that you just feel like, hey, times are good, everything's okay, I'm just going to sit back and relax and just enjoy it. And that's not a good place to be. In fact, Jesus talked about that in a parable in Luke 12, verse 16. He says, "And he told them this parable, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, what should I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself." Then who will get what you prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. So we always have to check our heart and say, am I being rich towards God? We always got to be available to say, Lord, this all belongs to you. You can have it. You know, here it is. You know, you always have to be really pliable to the Lord, because he'll challenge you sometimes if he thinks you're getting comfortable. And he'll say, well, why don't you free that up and do that and see what you do with it, you know. He'll watch your reaction to it. And so it can become like a wall around you to where you feel so comfortable that you get just really, like you're not even extending your faith anymore. This is what really happened to this guy here. He got to the point where he said, hey, I got it. I've been working hard. I've been doing all this stuff all his life. I'm just going to step back and take it easy, you know. And the Lord just called him a fool for doing it. So he wasn't having a problem. He did not have a problem with the guy expanding or the money that he had or building bigger barns. Had nothing to do with it. What he had to do with is where his heart was in relationship to that money. And he got comfortable with the fact that he had made it to a certain level that he didn't even have to work anymore. And see, that's where we get into trouble. That's where God will then intervene and say, okay, we'll just see what you do without any of this. And so you always have to be careful about that. So as you build it up, again, it's little by little. It's building it up over time. You know, if you start with $5 today and $5 a month, it'll take time, but eventually it will start growing. You know, you just do and start and add to and keep going and just be diligent about it, because that's what it takes, is to diligence to just get things going and get things going in the right way. Hearing from the Lord, hearing his wisdom and understanding what He wants you to do with it is so key. Father, we thank You for the wisdom on finances. We thank You, Lord, that You desire that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. And we thank You, Lord, for it. Thank You, Father, that the blessing of the Lord, it makes us wealthy, and You add no sorrow with it, Lord. So I thank You for supernatural ideas, for inventions, for witty ideas flowing in the hearts of Your people, Lord, as You just begin to bless them with many opportunities to really impact this kingdom. Thank You, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.